Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Netflix Life, a streaming TV podcast from Fansided. I'm your host, Cody Schultz. And today I'm joined by a very, very familiar face to the podcast who I'm very excited to introduce again as my co-host, Bryce Allen. Welcome back.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been, treasure hunting in the Outer Banks for 14 months. And I'm, glad to be back.
Yeah, the band is officially back together. And it feels so fitting that it comes right after Outer Banks has returned, because we get to talk about it today. Just the fallout, of course, how the season's streaming. Just welcome back. I'm excited to get to go on this crazy journey again, talking about our favorite Netflix shows.
I know. I mean, we obviously kept in touch, but we're gonna do a whole lot of podcasts coming. So super excited. Obviously, Outer Banks season 4 dropped. What day was it? The 23rd on a Thursday. We got the dreaded Thursday release. I know that we don't like those, but I guess I'm just glad that it's back. I'm back. The show's back. Everyone's back.
Everything's right in the universe suddenly again.
Exactly. Yeah.
I agree with you. I do not like the Thursday drops at all. I think there's such a miss. Like, it's such a weird day. Like, it works for Disney's done it for some of their originals, and it works if you're dropping just one episode. But when you do it Netflix style and binging, it just, I don't know, it's not the same to binge a show on like Thursday night, or even trying to wake up early on a Thursday. It's not as fun to do it on a Friday.
Yeah, it's a, I'm always like, when it arrives earlier in the week, like if it's a show I want to watch, I'll definitely like make the time for it. But it just, I feel like it just sets off this weird like timeline of like people. You have like the diehards who stay up all night long and watch it. You have the people who like either don't work or take Friday off and binge watch it that day because it's like their favorite show or whatever. And then the rest of the people like start it Friday, maybe if they have time. Saturday, Sunday's a big day for Netflix, we know, just when people aren't doing anything. And I feel like it just creates these like waves of like, oh, one wave finishes it Thursday night, then it just does. It's not like a good communal watching experience, which is like The Last of Us is a good example of like, or any HBO Sunday night release, they kind of own Sunday night. But like how you can go online, you know, within a few hours after the episode, and like it seems like everyone's watching it. I know that some people, you know, you fall behind or whatever, but I mean, the discourse is still there. Where with a show like Outer Banks, like there's so many twists and turns and stuff like that that it doesn't really do the show justice when some people are talking about it, some people don't want spoilers. Like, it just, it's not, I don't know, as good as it could be, I guess.
Yeah, it's really, really strange to me. It is, I will say, the Outer Banks fans definitely showed up, because I know Netflix had released some initial viewing stats, and season three was viewed by 154.97 million hours viewed from February 20th through February 26th. The season didn't drop until February 23rd. So the fact that it racked up that much, you know, viewership across, I think, just proves that this was one that it didn't matter what day of the week it dropped, fans were going to show up. But for some of the new shows, I think it's like a miss to drop the Thursdays.
Yeah, definitely. That's a pretty good number, I feel like. I don't know. I mean, so Ginny and Georgia dropped January 5th. I think the first week I looked it up, I should have wrote it down, but I think it was like 163 million hours watched. So about 10 million more than Outer Banks in those first few days. I'm not positive at how many days they counted for Ginny and Georgia, but like, so I think that we've got Outer Banks is officially the second biggest release of 2023 so far. We'll have to look at the exact numbers, but obviously I don't know if it's going to touch Stranger Things season 4 or Wednesday. And it's, I mean, nothing's going to touch Squid Game probably ever again. I think there were like 1.6 billion hours in the first 28 days or something like that, which is even bigger than Stranger Things. So yeah, I mean, it's got a chance, though. I think Ginny and Georgia is sitting at number 10 on, like, the all-time list for season 2. So Outer Banks has a chance to catch it. That would be so cool. That would be, like, the very, like, full circle, I feel like, if it could crack the top 10 for the first time at season 3, that would be really cool. I mean, we already know that season 4 is happening, so it doesn't really matter. Like, it's all, like, just for stat keeping, but I mean, I like it. I'm cool with it.
Yeah, and I think it definitely has a good chance to. I mean, those totals alone were just from a few days. So when you count in like weeks and all that, I think it definitely could have that potential, because I think they usually do, like, isn't it like the first 28 or 30 days is like their big metric they track?
Yeah, I think it's 28. So the first like 4 weeks, but it's, I was trying to like figure this out in my head, like, does the Thursday release actually work against it for that? Because it's like more people will probably be watching on Friday just by like general, so like, do you miss that extra Friday? But I don't know if it really like matters that much. But I feel like, yeah, you're right, like, I think that there's a lot of people, like, really only I think that this is real, like, the first wave of watching. The super fans, obviously, we know, stayed up till midnight because we were on Twitter just checking it out, seeing what the reaction was. And then it got bigger through the weekend, and it's like definitely staying there. There's a lot of competition right now for us writing stories about it. Everyone's covering it, and I think it just speaks to, you know, how like charismatic and popular the cast is. I feel like that they're really keeping the conversation going, at least on social media, with their like Instagram dumps, the photo dumps, the videos that we all like to see about behind the scenes stuff that they weren't able to share, obviously, because Netflix doesn't let them do that while they film.
Yeah, I feel like it's funny. I feel like not only is season 3 probably its biggest season in terms of the scope of what they're chasing after, but I think it's definitely its biggest season just in general between viewership and the amount of coverage it's getting. Suddenly, this was going from a show that, of course, you know, you and I have been fans and talking about it from the beginning, but it's a show that's built its audience over the seasons. And I feel like this season in particular, we really saw, like, it was everywhere. Like, every outlet was covering it. You saw, I mean, when they did the Poglandia event, like a big global event. Well, not global, because I guess it was just in LA, but still. They did, you know, some kind of big event to promote this show. And they don't usually do that for a lot of Netflix shows. Like, I feel like Stranger Things is the one standout that usually gets like the big, big rollout. I'm sure Wednesday, when season 2 rolls around, like, it'll get that same treatment, just seeing how big season 1 was. But you don't see it too much from Netflix. So the fact that they went so hard and just that it is getting covered more, I think it's just a testament, because usually it's the opposite. Like, by the time the shows start to get in their third, fourth season, especially on Netflix at least, you start to see like the interest going down and like the promotion going down. And I feel like it's been the opposite with Outer Banks.
Yeah, it's definitely like getting more popular. And like the fact that you could go from, you know, I think season 1 was like April 2020, and then we had to wait quite a while. Obviously, that was the pandemic for the renewal. They started production, I think, in the fall of that year. in really, I think, kicked up really in 2021. But then we saw the gap wasn't too big between the season two release and the season three renewal. But I still think it was like several months that go into it. So to get the renewal early, obviously, like Netflix sees the potential here. Originally, they said the creators said they had a 4 or 5 season plan, and then we saw that like walked back leading up to the season, just because it's like so much fun for them to do, and like obviously they're killing it. So I don't know. I think they joke that like season 17 will be on Mars. That's obviously not going to happen, but I would be down, honestly. Outer Banks in space, yeah, let's do it. Outer Banks, anything. I think that's like, we have this like running joke that's like, we'll take like literally all the Outer Banks that we can get. And that's absolutely true. But like, it's just really good to see that like early renewal, they can probably get started a little bit earlier. I know there's already some rumors about potentially starting in the spring or later this spring filming. So yeah, I don't know. Do you want to talk about any plot points? What did you think of the season? Anything like that?
Yeah, I feel like it's interesting. I definitely think this is its most polarizing season, because I feel like when you talk to different fans, there's either they really loved it or they're like, I liked it, but there was like different parts that I didn't really care for. And so it's been a little bit more varied. I feel like I'm personally in the boat that I loved it. That could just be because I'm an OBX stan. So it's one of those shows I just love, and I don't go into it, you know, with any particular expectations per se, but I just enjoy watching it. So I do see though some of the complaints that I've seen, some of the naysayers of like the Pogues being separated a little bit with like the journeys of like how it was mostly, I mean, we saw John B and Big John go off and do their own thing, and then Sarah finally kind of comes in, but then the other Pogues are just kind of off doing their own thing. Like even in the finale, spoiler alert for those who haven't watched, like,
yeah, spoilers.
They the other Pogues get to South America, some coming literally with John B and Sarah, and yet they still kind of end up on their own adventure, like chasing behind, like trying to catch up instead of being directly involved. And I think that was somewhat amiss. I think it would have been fun for them all to be actively participating there instead of just like trying to catch up with John B and Sarah and Big John. But the finale I thought was really, really like good. It had a different quality to it than like the rest of the episodes. Like it felt like they had a bigger budget for that episode. It also was longer. It was, I think, almost like an hour and a half, right?
Yeah, I think it was definitely the longest episode we've seen so far. And it's just different, like compared to the season two finale. Yeah, like they're on, what is the Coastal Venture? Is that what it's called? I'm pretty sure that's what it is. They're all together. Obviously, it's Operation Save Sarah. Like, they're all really involved, and then they meet Cleo, and that kind of sets the stage for like where we go in season three. And then I feel like that the season three finale, like it did feel different to any other episode that they've done. And I think it was like the culmination sort of like this whole like story that started like well before we met John B, like all of these treasure hunters and the Royal Merchant and where that gold actually came from, et cetera, et cetera. We get to the actual spot. And so that was really cool, I feel like, to bring that story to a close. And like, I'm not going to lie, like when I watched it, I was like, oh, like had I not known that season four was coming, I even still was like, oh, like this feels like when they do the whole bring out the whole town, they do like a look at what these kids did. This is amazing. The 18 months later time jump. Like I was like, oh, this feels series finale. And then thank God for the bald man. I think he was bald. In my head, I remember he was bald. That he came out and was like, do you guys want to do more? And they were like, the moment when they like look at each other and they're like, do you guys want to? And they're like, yeah, absolutely. I was like, okay, cool. We're good. Like, there's more here. But I think it was, yeah, like that long, like season three was different because it finally like brought a little bit of closure to like that, the whole mission so far. And that's, if you don't like it, like I understand, like if you don't like that story part closing, but like, I think it would have gotten a little bit old if like we didn't get that resolution that we got in that season three finale. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree. I think it was a smart decision to kind of wrap up and tie together all those stories that had kind of come together across the first three seasons to actually see the Pogues get a win too. I think like if we had seen them another season end with them literally losing to somebody, like I feel like we needed to see them get that win eventually. It had been a long time coming. And I think it's smart too, because the time jump is going to set up A, they can now go back. Like, we got very surface level. Here's what so-and-so's been up to. I mean, like, did I need to know that Kiara was saving turtles? Like, that's not the update I wanted, but
yeah,
that's the update we got. And so it's like, now they have that ability to go back and do little flashbacks, which should be tricky, because flashbacks can be done really well, or they can just kind of be like, what's the point? So it'll be interesting to see how they do them. But I think it also just helps jumping ahead. It makes the characters a little bit older. Suddenly they're not like teens running around, like they have more resources now. So they're going to be coming from a different spot. I think it's just exciting to kind of hit that reset. We're still, of course, going to have the same characters and all that, but now they're coming from it at a different angle, because they did get a win. They do. We don't know how much money still. That's very unclear to me. Like, how much do they have right now? Like, are we going to see them like jetting off on like private planes? I don't know. That's going to be another interesting thing, though, is we don't know those answers. So there's plenty of mystery, and it'll still keep the vein, I think, of the show, which has been the Pogues and the treasure. And I'm sure we're going to get more new villains that'll be introduced. That'll just be as much as, you know, Ward and Singh and others that we'll just love to hate, which that this show does villains really well.
Yeah, where's Rafe? Topper, also Dark Topper. I feel like that's a he's got to be the villain in season four. I think I'm right there with you, like with the potential for jumping back in with the flashbacks and kind of seeing like what happened, because we didn't really like it. Felt kind of odd, and I think it was supposed to feel weird, like that they maybe don't know like what happened in those 18 months, and they can piece it together. And I think that that's the most exciting part, is like the blank slate. Like, I feel like we can go back to that season one intrigue of like, oh, what they're like, what is the real mystery here? I don't know anything about Blackbeard. I'm not from that area of the country where maybe they did learn about that in school. I think Madison Bailey said that they had like a whole thing about it like in grade school or whatever. But like, for me, like, I probably won't look anything up about him either. I'll just kind of ride the wave and see what they come up with. And I feel like too, like, it's really hard to like do what they did for two seasons and then also keep that going in season three, now that like people are so invested with these characters. Like, they have to be really smart about some of the choices that they make and why that they choose them. Where like season two, I felt like it was like someone was just about to die every episode. Like, literally every episode, I think that it ends with like a cliffhanger. And it's like, we don't know if like John B. Sarah, Pope almost died. JJ, I think in the finale almost died, right? Like, he hit his head, I think. But yeah, that's high stakes. And it's hard to do that like literally every episode for like we've seen 30 episodes, so however many that is, like, we can't keep doing that every episode is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be interesting too to see like the time jump means for the characters, because 18 months, it doesn't seem like a long time, but it is, like, that's a lot of time to have passed. Like, how's that going to change the dynamics? I think that's going to be interesting to see, like, are the couples that we saw like introduced and kind of forming in these early seasons, are they still going strong? Like, those, there leaves the writers that opportunity to kind of explore these new dynamics instead of going through the rotation of like, oh, okay, you know, they're together, they went through another up and down thing. Like, they can kind of add that mystery of not knowing, like, they can introduce a storyline of like two characters suddenly not being close and hint that something happened without, you know, immediately telling us, and doing a slow burn kind of look back. And it's going to be really interesting. Plus, I think it'll be, this might be a hot take, but I'm kind of glad that they cleared the slate with finally offing Ward. And even Big John, I have to say, like, he's a villain in my eyes. I don't care what other people say. I mean, from the minute we kind of meet him, I mean, he starts putting John B in these awful situations. I mean, tells, you know, he kills the pirates maybe they were pirates. I don't know what they were. Criminals who took the diary. Like, he kills them and is like, John B, help me cover it up. And then tells him to rob the old lady for her key card. And it just, the constant hesitation too, like when Singh's men were after them and he's just like, John B, treasure, I don't know. And it's like, I struggled with that character across the season. And I think he does need to be called a villain, because he wasn't the best father figure. But then again, aside from Pope's parents, there's no really good parent examples. And that's the other thing. I did not like that Kiara's parents literally sent her off to that camp in episode 9. And then in the time jump, they're just sitting there smiling. I'm like, I need to know what happens there. And I can't just have it be like, she forgives them. And there, I don't know. That's going to be an interesting dynamic.
Yeah. There's a lot of like unanswered questions for sure. And I agree. Like, I don't mind Ward like as much as like, obviously he's terrible. Like, but like, I saw that some people were frustrated about the redemption arc, which I understand that. I also, like, yeah, it just takes it, like, to the emotional aspect of it, of, like, this happened now, like, what's the fallout? Because, like...
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video, find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sarah obviously will still be dealing with that 18 months later, where John B. will also be dealing with that, and they'll probably deal with it in very different ways because they're very different people. And so, like, I'm excited to see those type of, like, these characters that have been, like, established, things have happened to them. How do they deal with that now moving forward? Because, like, it's all good, like, you know, you're trying to get the treasure, but then once you actually have it and if it, like, attains some level of success, like they finally got a win, like you said, like, does it feel as good? Are they still motivated? I think, like, JJ's motivation was, like, very, like, wavering throughout the whole series, right? He's like, I just want to go to Mexico and, like, surf every day or whatever. I think he says in, like, season one. And, like, was bummed that they even got rescued from the island and from Poglandia in the first place. So, like, how does that change now moving into the future? So when, I guess that, like, any other thoughts on season four that you're thinking that you want to share?
I mean, I'm just excited. I think that's the best way just to wrap, because I could easily go on and on about this show. And I know we've got to talk about the exciting March releases that are coming, but yeah, I think I'm excited to see them start this new adventure. I think it was a smart move. I think it's going to help them kick off new stories that will allow them to go beyond that 4 or 5 season mark. And who knows, it's going to be interesting to see how they raise the stakes after these first three like adventures. Like, of course, I don't know much about Blackbeard either and like that whole lore, but it'll be really interesting just to see how they approach this new treasure hunt and like what new curveballs they throw their way.
Yeah, definitely. And in terms of like a release date, because we like predicting those things, if production starts, they're saying end of May, filming through the end of the year. That's the rumor, at least. That's summer 2024. Is that what we're thinking?
I think so. I don't foresee them having as big of a hiatus between these two seasons. I really don't. And I think moving it back to summer works for the like this show, even though I know its first season wasn't technically a summer month. I think it was May or April. It just like season two released in summer and it just felt like such a perfect summer show. What'll be interesting, of course, we're going to get Stranger Things probably next year as well. So that could be the curveball. But if they do a split release for Stranger Things, they could do May and July again and then slot Outer Banks right there in June. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting. But I think next year, I don't think this is one we're going to be waiting for.
Right. Especially if they're going to do more seasons too after this. Like, I feel like they got to get rolling. So yeah, that sounds good. Summer 2024. That's what we're thinking. All right. So let's talk about March.
Yeah. So before, of course, we can dive into, I think, our top picks, but quickly for everyone listening, here is every Netflix show and movie coming in March 2023. We've got Cheat, Wrong Side of the Track Season 2, Sex Life Season 2, Next in Fashion Season 2, You Season 4 Part 2, Outlast, The Law of the Jungle, Shadow and Bone Season 2, Dance 100, Sky High the Series, The Night Agent, Love is Blind Season 4, Wellmania, Unstable Season 1, Agent Elvis, I Am Georgina Season 2, Luther, The Fallen Son, The Magician's Elephant, and Murder Mystery 2. Now, as a reminder, these are just the Netflix movies and shows coming in March. There are also a lot of great comedy specials, documentaries, Netflix family editions, and acquired comedies, or not comedies, titles coming as well. Although there are a lot of good movies and comedies coming this month, I should say.
Yeah, it's a good one. I feel like maybe not as like notable as Outer Banks, big release in there, but there's a lot of good stuff for sure.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be an interesting month. I know for me personal, I think You Season 4 Part 2 is the one I'm most excited for. I hate the split season. I've said that, I think, in the February podcast when we talked about You. I think that was a miss for this show, especially just because the part one finale didn't build up enough. Like, it didn't deserve to be a part one finale. Like, it was still in the process of building the season story. And I think it just was a miss for them. I think there's been, like, I understand why they split it. I just think that was an interesting choice. I'm hoping, I mean, season four, part one was well received. We've seen the trailer for the new season, or new batch of episodes, I should say. And it does look exciting. We also know, this is a spoiler if you haven't watched the promo, but we know Love is going to make some kind of cameo appearance, which I think fans are going to really be excited about, because we did see Victoria Pedretti in the You Season 4 Part 2 promo. And so there's that mystery and just excitement of like, people don't know how. Of course, the general assumption is probably some kind of like flashback or like just mental break. Like, we've seen Joe see people who weren't there in the past, and that's how they brought like back other characters. So most likely it's going to be one of those two. It'd be amazing if they brought her back, like some random twist. She survived.
She's not dead. No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea. That would be epic.
That really would.
Yeah, because I feel like that's like my... So I have two complaints about You so far. I didn't not enjoy the season the episodes we've seen so far, but the releasing it in batches, like, this is like... I've always thought of this show going back to like the first season as like a sprint. Like, you really gotta just watch it all at once and get addicted to it and really get into it. So I think it works better like when there's less time to like start picking holes and like wondering about it and thinking about it. If you just watch it all the way straight through, you know, it occupies maybe a couple days, not like stretching it out over the course of like virtually 2 months. So that's tough. And then just not having, you know, Victoria Pedretti in it. Like, I feel like that they really hit a home run with that casting and like how awesome she was in those, was it two seasons? I think season two. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, not that like the other people that are in this season, it's just so different too. Like, it just feels different. And so I'm hoping that the next batch of episodes we kind of get like back to like Joe doing his thing, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's what the problem is with a show like You, is each season we do get introduced to this new crop of characters. We see Joe put in like different situations and all that. So each season, of course, there's the connective ties that tie across all the seasons, but they almost seem, they're almost more standalone than connected, because you get that whole new cast of characters. And so I think that's where the miss came in for me, is just, like you said, it's a good build. Like, it's a sprint. Like, you start to watch, and by like that middle of the point, that's when you're hooked. Like episode 5, 6, that's when you're really pulled in. You're like, I got to binge the rest of the season, because they have to introduce like the central mysteries. You have to introduce all these new characters and the new setting and backdrop. And I just think that's where I struggled with this first season, this first part, is I was just getting to know these characters. And then all of a sudden we had this break, and it was like, it wasn't even like a good cliffhanger. Like, it was okay. But like, this show has done so many good end of episode cliffhangers where like,
yeah,
I need to jump right to ahead, whether it's like a death fake out or like someone actually does get killed and you're like, oh crap, what's going on next? And so I think because they've done so many amazing cliffhangers just at the end of episodes, this one just didn't feel as impactful. But I'm really excited to see how it ends. I think this is going to be one, maybe it will help, because I feel like for me, I'll need to go back and rewatch those 5 episodes before diving into the new 5. So maybe that was their plan all ahead with this rollout of, oh, they're going to need to go back and rewatch them because they want to get the full experience, which maybe that's genius. We'll see when the numbers come out. But
I know, joke will be on us at that point.
But I'm excited. I am curious to see, though, how the season ends and how it sets up for a potential 5th season, because I do feel like we're starting to get towards the end of You. Like, it's just, it's nearing. It's not, it doesn't feel like a show that could go on quite as long, like an Outer Banks. Like, it could find new ways. Like, eventually Joe's gonna have to be caught or stopped by somebody. Like, it's just inevitable. He can't keep going from city to city murdering a bunch of people.
There are not enough cities in the world. No. I think Penn Badgley, I saw in an interview, I think he mentioned like it's getting close to the end for him as well. So I think he said that, don't quote me, but and then You season 4 part 2, obviously huge release March 9th. There's two really that I'm looking forward to. And the first one is obviously Shadow and Bone season 2. Big fan. That arrives March 16th. Big fan of the books there. And the first season I really liked. It's been a while. I don't even remember. I think it was, I want to say April 2021. Mm-hmm. So I really need to get back in and figure out what happened. That's what I'm trying to say. But I am excited about watching it. I will watch it. That comes up in 2 weeks. So, yeah. Is that another Thursday release?
I think it might be. I think it's another Thursday. Yep, that's another Thursday. So there's definitely a trend going on here.
Yeah. Did you watch the first season? I think that we talked about it. I can't remember.
No, I am bad with when it comes to fantasy shows, it's hard. I did try, like, The Witcher. And that one just, I was so lost.
Yes.
I sat through the first episode. I'm like, okay, don't quit. Maybe it turns around. And I was like, okay, we'll see. But this one feels like, I do want to watch it because I think the cast looks good and I am intrigued. Although I have to say, I know there's been rumors about how long this one's going to go, because of how it's adapting like the books and all that. So that's going to be interesting. It's puzzling to me they're putting this and You a week out, because I feel like those are honestly their two big releases for the month.
Yeah.
And I'm shocked they're not putting a little bit more space between them.
Yeah, I guess maybe they're thinking like different audiences, like fantasy versus like whatever You is, stalker, drama, comedy. I don't know. I think there's 7, I think, books in this set in this world by Leigh Bardugo. I think they've said like, we can't do 7 seasons. So they're bringing like, this brings in like 6 of Crows storylines from other books and stuff. So it'll be really interesting to see like how they go about bringing it all together, where this season ends. Cause I think that will really set the stage for like what's to come in the future. I'm hoping for a renewal, obviously, cause I don't think that this is the end of the story. But I feel like maybe the excitement isn't as there as it was in like 2021, and I think that just generally happens though when you have 2 years between seasons of an 8-episode show, right? We've seen it with, I guess I was gonna say Stranger Things, but that's just really popular anyway. But
Yeah, Stranger Things is probably the one like extreme exception of like they can have very short seasons, have multiple years between the seasons, and then every time a new season drops, it's still the biggest, like one of the biggest, if not the biggest show of the year. But yeah, I do think that's a fair point. Like, I do think there was so much hype before the first season dropped, and there's definitely hype for season two, just not quite as much. So it'll be interesting to see how it's received, especially with the Thursday release. But I feel like Netflix is going to want to stick with this one because there is that potential to at least go a couple more seasons. And fantasy's done well for them in the past. So I'm optimistic that it'll get that at least a season three renewal. I doubt we'll get a double renewal just because they've been more picky and choosy about those ones. But yeah, I think those two definitely. Let me get, is the other, are we talking Love is Blind? Is that the
other one? Yeah, that's my other one. Yeah, that's my other one. So I love Love is Blind. I think it's great. Season four, it comes out on March 24th. And we're getting weekly. I think it's spread over 4 weeks. So that will be really interesting. So into April, like mid-April, we'll find out, you know, are the couples still together, a reunion, probably going to get the After the Altar, but this season is set in Seattle. So that's exciting for me because I used to live there. And so, I'm excited to see the sights of the city, you know, and, just more couples getting engaged without seeing each other, which is just like chef's kiss for me in reality TV.
Yeah, I think that one's going to be a good one. It is interesting seeing it drop in March instead of February because I think there was a big assumption that we'd get the new season in February. And then I think they did After the Altar in February instead, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they did. And then they did that Perfect Match show, which I think that they rolled that out kind of as the replacement to Love is Blind. And then interesting that they just, maybe they like stacked them all. They're like, you know, we're going to try Love is Blind. That's going to lead into Perfect Match, which had people from Love is Blind on it. And then a month later, I guess, right after Perfect Match just ended. So like there's a couple weeks in between and then we're doing it again. And then we'll get probably like The Circle or like Too Hot to Handle or another one of those reality shows like later on. But yeah, so that's the big one for me. You're probably not going to watch that though. Any of the other ones on the list that you're excited about though?
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the list quickly, I think Murder Mystery 2 should be fun. Of course, Jennifer Aniston and Adam Sandler returning for the sequel. That one drops March 31st, so literally right under the radar, or right under the gun, I should say, for March release, which I guess that's one they could have easily held for April, but who knows. The Night Agent, I think, is one that I'm intrigued by. That's a new series coming March 23rd, kind of an FBI conspiracy show, which that seems to be Netflix's new thing. We saw The Recruit. They just announced a new conspiracy like series with, what's his name? Robert De Niro, was that hit?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah. Robert De Niro. They had so that Netflix other one with like, it. Yeah, like Charlie Cox. I think it was called like Treason. Something like late last year. But yeah, I think interesting about Murder Mystery. So that's the last day of the quarter. And I'm wondering if they're just going to like that. I don't earning stuff. There's something going on there with like a March 31st drop and then obviously right into spring. But The Sandman, people love that guy on Netflix. So he's how many Adam Sandler movies are on Netflix? Like a bunch. So I think people will really like that one too. But I'm really interested in The Night Agent. I really like shows like that about anything like FBI, CIA, mole at the White House. Are you kidding me? That's what this is about. So yeah, that's interesting for sure. And then what's the other ones? We got Luther, The Fallen Sun. That's a movie, right? Based on the series?
Yep.
So yeah, that'll And then Unstable, Rob Lowe, new series.
Yeah, that comedy. One's going to be interesting because he's co-starring along his son. So,
oh, is it his son? Yeah. Okay. I was like, yeah, that seems weird that they have the same last name. No.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting because I think this is the first time they've worked together, at least on a show that I can think of in this kind of a scale. So that's another one coming right at the end of the month. So it'll be interesting to see because I think it's a comedy. And Netflix they've struggled with launching a new comedy in the recent months because like Blockbuster was kind of one and done. And
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see if this can maybe come in and be that comedy that they need and they want right now.
It's interesting. Yeah. Like we're running out of time here, but like it's been a struggle for the comedy since like obviously The Ranch was popular. Grace and Frankie, I think, is the longest running Netflix show ever. So since that ended, it's been kind of bleak for the comedy. So hopefully maybe this will change that. I guess so. If you were to pick one title, I know your answer, but I'm gonna make you say it again. What is your must-see title for March?
Let's see. Love is Blind. definitely use season four, part two. I'm really just excited and curious to see how the season's going to end and how it'll tee up a potential fifth season. I think that'll be a good pick and one that'll probably be among the more popular for the month. What about you?
I was going to say Shadow and Bone. That was what I was planning on because that's like very on brand for me. But I really feel in Love is Blind. Like, I really think that that one's going to be probably, if not the biggest, behind You probably is like the most watched Netflix show of the month. And it's good that, like, you know, we get some weekly releases, episode drops in there. So that's what I'm looking forward to. Love is Blind.
Yeah. And let's be honest, we kind of... They need it. The Bachelor, this current season's not very good. So I think it's a perfect timing for people who need to come in and enjoy some.
I just thought about that. When does The Bachelor end? It's got to be right around that time. I wonder if Netflix is like, you guys like The Bachelor? Well, this is the show now.
Yeah, I think it'll probably wrap. I don't know if we've got an exact finale date, but it'll probably be end of March. So yeah, right around when Love is Blind season four is starting, The Bachelor will be ending. And then we probably won't see Bachelor in Paradise until summer. Bachelorette's usually May. So there'll be a good gap that Love is Blind can kind of come in and fill.
I see you, Netflix. I know what you're doing. I put it together. No. And then we also have some other movies coming out. I know these are older movies, but the Hunger Games movies just dropped, which thanks for the heads up, Netflix, not taking shots. But they only said one of them was coming and then all four dropped. But they're only on for... literally the month of March. They leave in April. So if y'all want to watch that Hunger Games marathon, do we call it a marathon when it's movies on Netflix or is it still a binge watch?
We'll call it a binge-a-thon. Just combine the two.
There we go. Binge-a-thon, the Hunger Games movies. We're out of time though, so we should bail.
Yeah, so it was definitely, I enjoyed getting to talk about Outer Banks. Welcome back again. I'm excited that we get to do this again and talk about all of our favorite shows and the timing is just perfect. So that's all the time we have today. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great rest of your week.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Vim, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.